Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Good morning, everyone. I'm Saint Rick. I'm here to share the most wonderful, amazing message ever given to us throughout of all history. And we are very excited about today as we're going to walk through Ephesians 2, and we're going to learn some deep hidden mysteries about works and what that means. We're going to learn some deep hidden mysteries about the Spirit and what that means. And how do you even know you have the Spirit? Are you sure you have the Holy Spirit? Maybe the pastor didn't tell you. Maybe he's saying you're not quite there. Maybe he's telling you you're not quite ready yet, son or daughter, because of what you did last Saturday night. Well, maybe because he's saying that you have too many tattoos. Or you've had too many boyfriends or too many girlfriends, or shame that you're living together. Because some of you pastors even say, I can't marry you because I cannot get behind it. Why? Because you're living together. Show me that one in the Bible, pastor who does not know his Bible, who does not know the Father, who does not know our Father in heaven. You don't even know when we're married, obviously. So therefore, you're going to be excited about tuning into God News Network each and every week. You can go to godnewsnetwork.com. You can go to saintswithoutwalls.com. You can go to facebook.com/GNN radio. You can go to youtube.com/C/God News Network. We're very excited. With me, I'm my brother, Albert, from South Carolina. Good morning, Albert.
Morning, Rick. And you're so right. You know, the tendencies of this world, or the rudiment of this world, has always been law and works. So the religious sect of this rudiment, they work on that. And that's what they teach. And that's why you come up with things like, what you were saying, that if you're planning on getting married and all of a sudden, you know, you got to stop doing what you're doing. In other words, get cleaned up to meet God now, you know. And it's always works that you have to do. Or another thing is, by the way, the Bible says that not to look at the exterior. Because you cannot know a person by the exterior or by the works of the flesh, but by the Spirit, right? And so we have all the people telling you, well, you know, let's see the evidence. They're always looking at the churches. They're always looking at evidence of works on people to make sure that they're saved. Well, if he stops saying bad words by a certain time, well, that's an evidence that that guy is, is safe. If he says, let's say 10, he used to say 100 bad words an hour, but now he's came down to 20 bad words an hour. So now that really means that guy is safe, you know. Or that guy used to come to church but maybe once a year, but now he's coming three times a year or every week. Now that's an evidence that guy is really safe. And it's ridiculous. You know, the same thing that the Bible tells us not to judge by, which is by the outward appearance of a person, you know, or if that person drinks. I mean, for God's sake, you know, Rick, here in South Carolina, I've heard stories, and I've been only living here up here for about 12 years, but I've heard stories at the old Bible times here where people used to really, really be there, you know, and really be for God. That they used to talk all the time about not drinking, like drinking was a sin. And what people used to do is they used to come to their churches, and they used to say, well, there sits Joe. He used to be a drunkard, or he used to drink, and he used to say foul language, right? But now he's not. We really know that the Spirit is in Joe, right? But they don't know that Joe, after churches is done with, he goes to the next county up, and Joe takes a couple of drinks, and he's there with his buddies, and he says a few bad words. You know, it's hypocritical of what the church looks at. You know, they look at the flesh, and we're supposed to be looking at the Spirit and what the Spirit is and what the Spirit did through Christ. It's, so here we are once again, you know, reading another letter, one of the many letters in the New Testament that talks about the same thing, about law versus grace.
And well, let's see what the Word tells us about that, Albert, because I think you are so on it. And how many times have both you and I been in churches where we've heard these legalistic teachings? And really, you're hurting people. You're making them feel that God doesn't love them by telling them stuff that are false. I mean, just bottom line. It starts off in Ephesians 2. We left off in Ephesians 1 last time, and we're kicking off in Ephesians 2 this time. And you, that's you who's listening, he made, who's he? God, made alive. Now, if we look at that word alive, that has a lot of power. Let's dive into that word real quick here and see what it says. You were dead, okay, in your trespasses and your sins, right? Now you've been made alive, right? Let's go to the next verse here and get to that one here, Ephesians 2. You were made alive. If we look at this, it says made alive right here. Look at those two words real closely. They're italicized. Okay. He didn't say this in the original text, so let's leave this out. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, that means you no longer walk, according to the course of this world. So you once walked according to the course of this world. Let's take a look at that. According to the course of this world. What is the course? If we go down here and look, Strong's. From the same as properly in age, by extension, perpetuity, also past, by implication, the world. Especially Jewish, a Masonic period, age, or course, eternal evermore, for beginning of the world, world without compare. And if we go to the Greek, it says that, but more probable is the conjecture that is connected to breathe blow as to denote properly that which causes life or vital force. Is now generally connected with English, A-Y-E, ever, okay? Basically, under the world. There was a guy named Ebling who wrote Under the World there. So if we go back and look at this in context, what we're going to see is you were once alive. You were dead in your... were made alive. You were dead in your sins. You walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is. That's Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of wrath, just as others. Is where we were. That's where we were. He's setting it up saying, this is where you were. You once walked in this. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Commentary on that is pretty interesting, because if we go back to Romans 8, chapter 8, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So what we have to determine and discern whether or not we have the spirit, because otherwise we're going to be challenged here. If we go back and read this again, you once walked according to the course of the world, prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works now in the sons of disobedience. That's how we used to conduct ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy and great love, he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, made us sit in the heavenly places by Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And we go back to Romans and we look at it, and says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So how do we find that out? We go to 1 Corinthians. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. So you can't accurse Jesus if you're speaking by the Spirit of God. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So can you say Jesus is Lord? If you can say that, then you have the Holy Spirit. You don't need to fear whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that's been given unto you once the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's deposited into you at that point. You don't want to believe the lies that you may not have it. You may not have him. You may not have the Holy Spirit. So, Albert, got a question for you. What's one of the biggest lies taught here that we see with the churches when we're talking about this first section? You were in your trespasses and your sins. You walked according to the course of this world. Do they still heap that on us?
The churches are teaching, most religionists say religious, the religious sect of this world, this is what they teach. What's going on here, Rick, and we got the power, the prince of the power of the air, what is it that he works in, and why is it that that prince fell from grace, okay? That prince, which is the devil, as we know, the reason why he fell is because he was created to be perfect in God, and the works were always God's work. When he decided to become perfected by his own works, and of course, you know, it has to be good works. Nobody in their right mind will say that you're going to be perfected in bad works, okay? So, of course, it's in good works that he falls. He falls in good works because he thought that those good works were going to gain him a position just like God. And in fact, that's what he plants to Eve. What he plants to Eve is the works of the world and the works of his own works, which is that by you eating out of that tree and following the rudiments of that tree, you will become the same as God, which is, again, it's good works. And for those of you who think that the devil is coming and giving you bad works so you could fail, and God will come and spank you and give you penance, and you're going to have to stand in the corner for 3 years, you know, and stuff like this, it's ridiculous. No one in their right mind will think that by doing bad works, you're going to be becoming better and better and better. No one in this world. People know in this world that the way that you could become good is by doing good works. So those are the rudiments of this world, is good works. That's what the prince of the air gives through religion, is good works. Through those good works that he says that are going to make you better and are going to make you alike like God, that's what that's the works that you got to be going into. And that's what the church teaches. Here's a simple of one way that they teach that. They'll tell you, you have to walk. God established the way a Christian should walk, right? So he says, you see all those good works that Christ did. Well, those are the good works that you should imitate, right? So by imitating those good works, that's how you will be getting sanctified. In other words, again, that process of sanctification that they always put in, that you're going to be getting holier and holier and holier because the evidence of those good works in you are going to be showing that you're getting to the stature of Christ. Well, that's not how that Christ walked in the earth. If you think that Christ walked in the earth by accomplishing laws, you don't know what Christianity is, because Christ did not walk in the earth by accomplishing laws. Christ walked in the earth by faith, just like a Christian should walk in the earth by faith or by trust in what he did. Because what God did, what Christ did, is that he trusted in the Father and he listened to the Father to what he should be doing. So Christ walked by faith. He never walked by law. But again, that's what the religious circles in this earth and the rudiments of the world teach you, is that you should walk by laws and by regulations, and that's what's going to bring you into eternity, or at least a good standing.
That's right. Well, if we try to walk by our own works, we are going to not get there. It's just not possible. We need him. For by grace, it says in Ephesians 2, chapter 8, for by grace, it says in Ephesians 2, chapter 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So whose faith is it? You've heard us talk about here before in Romans chapter 8, verses 3, or Romans chapter 3, verses 22, that it's not our faith, that it's Christ's faith. And if you have a newer version, you're going to see it's faith in Jesus. So it's your faith in Jesus, but it's really the faith of Jesus. And here it's going to prove it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you've been saved through faith and not that of yourselves, not that of your own. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So there it is. It says, because he doesn't want people to boast about their works over someone else. And good luck getting there by your works. It's not possible. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Uh-oh, here's where the legalism can come in again. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Well, what kind of works should I have so that I can fulfill my destiny with Christ? Well, let's keep reading so we don't get confused here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. Why? That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But here's the turn. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought together by the good works, the blood of Christ. Christ is the one who did this. You didn't do it. He just got done telling you in the verse above, 8 and 9, it's grace you've been saved through faith and not that of yourselves. Get over yourselves. It's the gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's not of works. And then you're saying he's going to tell you in the next sentence that it's good works. Your good works? Don't think so. That's why you got to keep reading, and you got to read before, and you got to read after, and you got to read it in context, not pick a verse out about works to make your point, Mr. Legalist Pastor. So that's not going to work out too well. Therefore, remember, you who were once in the flesh, who were called in circumcision by the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from commonwealth, Israel, strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Again, I repeat this. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, not your works, not your tasks, not your number of times you can show up on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. And it says, for he himself is at peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation. Uh-oh, what is this middle wall of separation that's keeping us from him? Here it is. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace, or the Jews and the Gentiles now were one through his blood, and that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to the enmity, which was the law. Mm-hmm. And he came and preached to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. And we just covered how you had that spirit. If you can say Jesus is Lord, you have the spirit. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. That's a current thing. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You're a dwelling place of the whole God of the universe dwelling inside you. So, Albert, on this, when we're dealing with this subject, and we're dealing with how we were far off, we've been brought together now, we were in our flesh. Now we're no longer in our flesh. We've been brought together so that we can have communion with God. And he did that through the blood of Christ by abolishing in his flesh the law. That would be sacrilege in a church. He's abolished the law. Oh my, can't take the Ten Commandments down off the building. That's going to be a problem if we take the Ten Commandments down off the building. Well, yep. God took it down a long time ago.
He sure did, Rick. And for those who are you who are teaching that what he took was just the penalty of the law, you're completely wrong. You see, he didn't just take away the penalty of the law. He took away what made you guilty. So you're no longer guilty. So there is no more penalty. And there is no more penalty because you're no longer guilty. You see? So those of you who are thinking that God is looking at whatever you do and looking at you through guilt eyes are completely wrong, because the only way that God could look at you through guilt eyes is if the law was still standing, right, and the law is no longer standing. So you see,
a good example of that would be like if the stop sign is out there and then the law came to you and said, Rick, we're never going to hold you accountable for that stop sign there. But every time you would go there, you would want to stop. Yep. You would continually try to stop. Instead, God took the stop sign away.
Yep.
It's just no longer there.
Yeah. And Rick, you have pointed out something in the beginning, but I would like you to read this so we could go back again to the beginning. Let's go to Psalms 118:23.
Psalms 118:23. Let's go there. You know, what's really unique about Psalms 118, it's the very middle of the Bible. 23, right? This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Psalms 118:22.
Okay. From the beginning, even before the beginning, even before any creation, God had this already in plan. That the Lord's work was going to be the changing point of this earth and the changing point of humanity. Okay? And this verse right here is echoed throughout the whole Bible. Everybody was waiting for this. No one, it was a secret that no one knew, that everybody was waiting, that they didn't know. They had little bits and pieces here and there, but everybody was waiting for this work. It's for the work of the Lord. And when we go back to Ephesians 2:10, that work that we see there is the same work that the whole Bible was looking for, that good works that everybody was looking for. Let me tell you something. The Bible wasn't looking for your good works. The Bible was looking for Christ's good works. And that's where the Bible stands. That's where the Bible stands. So from the beginning of creation, this is what was always been there and what everybody was looking for. And even the angels marveled at this. Everybody marveled at this. When Christ stepped into that cross and he said, it was done. It must have been a chill to every creation out there. No one was waiting for this. No one, not even the Jews, were waiting for Christ to be stepping in a body of a human, or even the angels. It's great.
You know, time goes fast, Albert, on this show, because there's nothing better than sharing the truth to those who have no hope so that they can have hope. Hope is very powerful. Let not the enemy or the prince of the air steal your hope. There will be troubles in this world. With today's media, we see them all. They don't want to show the good news. They don't want to show you all the beauty that God has for you and the peace he has for you. But we will. We'll share that with you. Just tune in. Help us out. Tell everybody. Come join us. This is where the real world exists. It's where we're going to live forever. Under the peace and under his feathers. Protected from all the weird stuff. Matter of fact, this world is meant for us. All that stuff's going to be taken out. Gone. It's going to be removed. It's going to be taken away so that we can enjoy the peace on earth like it's meant to be. Matter of fact, God tells us in his word, we're going to have 1,000 years here on this earth with Christ reigning, and all the weapons are going to be tore down into plowshares so we can plow together, work together, live together, love together, no hate. And what's amazing is this. You get to be there with us by just accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repeat after me if you have not. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you said those words, you're saved. I know it sounds simple. God didn't want to complicate it for us. He just wants us to rely on His Son, completely on Him, because man can't do it. And He's okay with that. He's more than okay with that. He loves you with all of His heart. Tune in, GodNewsNetwork.com, GodNewsNetwork.com, and also you can go to SaintsWithoutWalls.com, Facebook.com/GNN Radio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, and many places. We thank you, and we never want you to forget that the saints